Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against his daughter, against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. And a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. Today in his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul goes totally prostrate before God the Father with a prayer for the Ephesians and for us. I think it's one of the most beautiful prayers in all of sacred scripture. It's one I believe that St. Paul continues to pray before God the Father. That he may grant us in accord with the riches of his glory, so in according to his unbelievable magnitude, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner self, first thing. Strengthened with God's strength in our inner self. That expression in Greek means three things. Strengthened in our mind so that we might know God. Strengthened in our will that we might choose and love God. Strengthened in our conscience that we might be able to choose and act like God. To be strengthened with God's own strength in our minds and in our wills and in our capacity for doing good and avoiding evil. Why? He goes on. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That word dwell means take up permanent residence. It doesn't mean a visit. In that beautiful hymn, Abide with Us, Lord, it says, don't come for a sojourn, come to abide. Paul's praying that the strength of the Lord might come in his Son to take up a permanent residence within us, so that, rooted and grounded in love, rooted, we draw all our life from this beginning, grounded in it. It is our foundation, and we're firmly made. We may have the strength to understand with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. It doesn't give a genitive there. Breadth, length, height, depth of what? Some of the early saints interpreted it as the utter immensity of God's love, that we might be able to comprehend the whole thing in our finite mind, just that we would be able to have a taste of that extraordinary love. Others of the early saints looked at these four images, height and depth, length and breadth, and they saw the cross, that we might know the fullness of the love of God given for us on the cross. That love of Christ that surpasses knowledge so that we might be filled with the fullness of God. We can never contain the infinite, but God desires to fill us with the fullness of his love. And that's ultimately what St. Paul's prayer is, turning to the Father, from whom all love comes, the love that establishes every family, that we might be strengthened by the Holy Spirit inwardly, so that Christ and his love might come into our hearts, so that rooted and grounded in Christ, the love incarnate, we might be able to understand with all the saints the incredible gift of the love of God that surpasses all knowledge, so that through love we might be filled with God's fullness. That prayer was an echo of the prayer that Jesus made in today's gospel. Jesus said, with words that Pope Benedict never ceased to pray about and to preach on, "I have come to set the world on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing." Two things there. Set the earth on fire. He's come with a plan. That fire is going to be the fire of his love in the Holy Spirit, who would come down as tongues of fire on the church. We can focus on that, but we must also focus on how I wish it were already blazing. Jesus wanted that conflagration occurring before him, and he was in anguish not seeing it. He really wants us full of zeal, full of fire, ardent. In a Hebrew couplet, he echoes that prayer. There's a baptism with which I must be baptized. That baptism is going to be part of the ignition. And how great is my anguish until it is accomplished? Jesus, as we know, had fixed his face on Jerusalem and was climbing up that mountain in order to be baptized with that baptism of blood, so that the true fire of the Lord's furnace of love would become radiant, and the burning bush would burn anew on Golgotha. The fire that Christ has come to set. We're all called to be part of that fire. And how great is Jesus' anguish until we are consumed with it. Consumed like the burning bush, not destroyed by it, but somehow burning and not ever being extinguished. You know, there's a joke in the priesthood. I don't know if it exists elsewhere, between priests who are lazy and priests who work hard. A lot of the lazier priests will say to the hard-working priests, "Slow down, I don't want you to burn out." And the general rejoinder is, "If I'm burning up, I won't burn out. But if I'm not burning up, I will burn out." That what keeps us fresh is that fire of God's holy love. And that anguish, that wish that Jesus had, has got to become our own. We've got to have a similar holy yearning for that fire to truly be the definition of our life, and that we become spiritual arsonists, basically lighting on fire whatever we touch and wherever we meet, provided that the person isn't filled with the asbestos of the devil. That leads us to the second part. When Jesus says that he has come to establish peace on the earth, those aren't the words that he said, but that's what he meant. "Don't think I have come to establish peace on the earth. I tell you, I have come to establish division." And then he tells how the home would be divided. 3 against 2, 2 against 3, parents against children, in-laws against each other. What did he mean, and where does this come from, the fire and the baptism? We see it throughout the church. When someone in a home has a deeper conversion, Often, the others want to keep the status quo. They don't want the fire to be burning. The division comes not because of the zeal, not because of the love of the Lord. It comes because people resist that love. Similarly, we see it when people convert to Christianity. In the early days of the church, many Christians were disowned by their Jewish families. Today, in Muslim countries like Pakistan, for example, Saudi Arabia, we saw it clearly in Iraq and any place where there's fundamentalism. When someone converts to Christianity, the family members put out a contract on their own family member because of the shame to Islam or to Hinduism from having a convert in that family. It's not that Christ came to divide. The devil's the divider. But when someone puts Christ first, the others, out of jealousy, often act in a violent way. What we really need for peace, and why Jesus is saying that he has come to bring peace, my peace I give you, my peace I leave you, as the Prince of Peace, is because the fire of his love is that great unifier. And all division ultimately comes from not receiving the Lord's gift of love, which does bring us together. And how Jesus yearns for us to have the peace he came into the world to bring, but it'll only happen through love. So let's get practical. Christ comes to light visitation mission on fire. The devil comes to bring division. And all of us have a role to play in whether we choose fire or whether we stay where we are. The church as a whole faces that same dilemma, whether we're going to let the fire of the Lord's primatial love consume the church, or whether we're going to worry about all of these other things. I don't know how much you've had a chance to be reading what's been happening in the synod, but there have been some good things coming out of the synod. Some prelates are saying, why are we constantly talking about sociology when we should be talking about faith? Why are we spending so much time about whether we're going to have a term LGBT in a church document when you've got so many Christians who are being kidnapped and murdered in their countries? In the midst of what we would call secular concerns, there are a bunch of Christians there on fire who are bringing us back to the real aspect of what we ought to be about. This will always be the big tension. It'll be the tension ecclesiologically. It'll be the tension personally. Christ comes to light us and his mystical body and the whole world on fire. But the devil's always trying to bring resistance to it. So often, sisters, when we think about hell, we think about fire. One of the reasons why we do is because Jesus talks about the fire of Gehenna, which was the valley, Gehinnon, between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, where the Jews would burn their rubbish. And so it was an easy image for hell. When Dante wrote his Divine Comedy, as you remember, the lower you got in hell, the more ice cold it was. Christ had come to light us on fire. Fire is an image of God's love. And hell is frigid. So cold, almost absolute zero, so that no growth can happen. As we come to celebrate Mass today and celebrate the votive Mass of Charity, you remember how we began. Stir our hearts aflame, O Lord, with the fire of your love, we pray, so that first we might love God and then really serve our neighbor with charity. As we serve our neighbor with fire, peace ensues because love unites, provided that the person wants to be ignited. Just like a flame unites everything that burns, so it brings us together. And we pray that the Holy Spirit, who wishes to come down on us in the perpetual Pentecost of the Mass, as tongues of fire, might unite us with each other and with the Lord. And as St. Catherine of Siena wrote, go out to light the world ablaze. Praise be Jesus Christ.